What's good? What's good? I'm back. Yours truly, one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and much, much more. I'm going to react to Joe Rogan and Ice Cube talking about the Bud Light boycott. Before we do, though, I want to give you a word from PromoPalace.biz.
Looking for music marketing and promotion? Then look no further than Promo Palace LLC, your one-stop shop for all music promotion services. Services include Spotify playlist pitching, YouTube video promotion, record pull promotion, blog placements, radio airplay promotion, SoundCloud promotion, and much more. With over 2,000 customers and over 10 years of experience in online promotion, Promo Palace LLC is a company you can trust. For more info, please go to promopalace.biz. See you there.
That's right. You heard a beautiful lady. If you want to promote your music, product, brand, or service, go to promopalace.biz, your one-stop shop to promote pretty much on all platforms. So let's get into it. Joe Rogan and Ice Cube talking about the Bud Light boycott.
Opinions is when people boycott shit and it works, like this Bud Light thing.
Yeah.
Then and now people are like, don't do that again.
Yeah.
Like, be careful, because look what happened to Bud Light.
Well, who controls Bud Light? That's the question. Why would they make a dumb decision like that? Are they trying to ruin Bud Light? And why would they want to ruin Bud Light? Are they trying to take down some of our most iconic American brands, and why would that help?
I don't think they were trying to. I don't think they had any idea this was going to happen. It's this ESG thing that everybody has to dedicate a certain amount of their time to, you know, woke.
Let me chime in real quick. I don't think this campaign intended to take down, but like, I agree with Rogan. Like they didn't probably think this was going to have the effect it was going to have. But there is probably some people that are out there that's cool with killing all these classic American brands off, because the way they're trying to basically redefine, restructure, recreate, rebrand, re-image every single thing in America. I wouldn't be surprised, but I think they miscalculated this one. I think they did a total miscalculation on the effect this was going to have.
Stuff.
Who mandates that?
It's a good question. Where does the ESG money come from? Is that government, like, where does that come from? And it's they have scores, and the ESG score of your corporation determines what you get. And the problem is also you get these people that are coming out of college, like this lady who made the decision for Bud Light. You know, she's gone through the university system, she's in the corporate system, and she's a woman, and she thinks, you know, we have to be more inclusive, and that's all the language everyone's using today.
Yeah.
And so they don't know any real people. They don't know regular people. They have no idea that if you take a brand, Bud Light, which is, like, known for, you know, blue-collar drinking people, that they like to fucking watch football and drink Bud Light, and then all of a sudden you have this mentally ill person who's just an attention whore, and you make a big deal out of putting this person 365 days of womanhood. You put that on a Bud Light can, and they freak the fuck out.
Yeah.
And then Kid Rock shoots a bunch of them, and then it's on. Once Kid Rock shoots your cans, you got real problems.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure you do. Yeah. Yeah, man. It's kind of like, I think you gotta still ask why. Like, what?
You think
what?
There's like a conspiracy?
Well, you know, who's getting hurt? Who's getting hurt in this whole thing? Is it the Bud Light?
Anheuser-Busch?
Brass?
Probably not.
Will their bonuses be affected will their checks and salaries be affected? You got this lower level person fired, and a bunch of middle class guys are paying the price because you got distribution centers, you know, the guys that deliver the beer nobody want, and now they're out of a job. Now you're really attacking the middle class by making a brand that's so big take a hit like that. You know,
it says here, the quickest destruction of a company in history. Bud Light sponsors Toronto Pride Parade.
So, you know, it's
let's think about that for a second. Literally was the number one beer bought. I mean, it's not the number one quality beer. It's horse piss. You should drink Dizzle. But you're number one forever, and then just because you want to go woke, as they call it nowadays, with this woke marketing strategy, virtue signaling, you send out one beer can as one sponsorship, and you've literally lost 25% of your consumers. I mean, any business that loses 25% of all their consumers at one time is going to take a hit. If they trickle off, you know, gradually, I mean, you could probably bring in new customers as they trickle off. But when you just lose 25% like that, I mean, just it's a big hit, you know, and somebody got to get fired. Somebody got to get fired when you lose 25% of your customer base. They miscalculated. And I don't even want to call it a miscalculation anymore. You know why I want to call it a miscalculation? Is I think they had enough evidence from Hollywood and the movies, the virtue signaling in the movies, the woke movies, the identity politics in the movies. I think you had enough evidence and proof that you alienate a lot of your consumer base, that you lose a lot of consumers off of this. Why is Disney fire all these people on ESPN? That it's not because ESPN per se lost all the subscribers and customers. Disney also has been losing subscribers and customers because of what they're doing. And yes, ESPN went woke. They started bringing politics into sports. Way too much at that. You know, they just started bringing politics into sports way too much. Really, I could do with zero politics in my sports. And I think Ice Cube is about to kind of touch on that here in a second. What was this? That was just the other day. Yeah. Oh, that's so silly. They're leaning into it. Like, but meanwhile, the gays are mad at them. The Pride people are mad at them because they didn't support Dylan Mulvaney. So they like kicked it out of gay
win.
Bars.
You don't win, you know, either way at the end of the day. But, you know, I think about the companies that own these companies, the people that own these companies, and why would they let a decision like that take the company down?
I don't think they thought it was going to. I think this is a legitimate public outrage one, where they just pushed too far and people went, fuck you. And it wasn't even like a real like promotion. It was a thing they sent a can to this person, this Dylan Mulvaney person. But I don't think it went anywhere else. I think it was just like, here, this is for you. And you put it on social media. They made some sort of a partnering deal, you know, and that was it.
So why Target do the same thing?
Well,
and before he gets into that, I think some people are under the impression, feel like I'm about to sneeze. Then they were an impression that one can was not just going to be one can. I think some people were an impression at first that we were going to start going to buy cans with Dylan Mulvaney's face on the cans and kind of ran with it. But I think when Kid Rock shoots the cans up, that was definitely a big one. And the more and more people just started doing videos, it just, people really started paying attention to what was going on and started just getting more of the details. And yeah, this is crazy. Like, I'm a marketing advertising guy. Like, you're not supposed to alienate, not even, you know, no portion. You don't really want to alienate no portion of your consumer base, you know? And I'm going to get into, like, how this kind of pertains to Dizzle in a little bit, too.
Oh, I think that's an ESG thing. That's an ESG thing, right? And Target lost billions of dollars, too. Because people are sick of this shit. They're sick of social things like that that are controversial getting stuffed into your face and where you have to accept it.
Yeah.
And people are like, I don't want to accept it. It's just like, I'm just coming here for fucking toilet paper.
Yeah, I think, you know, people got to keep it in perspective as well, too. You know, I don't think people grab a beer to be so, I mean, to you know, to learn about the newest social event, right, or the social situation going on.
Right.
Grab a beer because you want a beer, hang with you.
That's what it really, it's like, you know, I do promotion for Dizzle, which is, Gavi tequila, cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. And, you know, Dizzle, we talked about this, me and my friend. Like, you can't never, Dizzle can't never go this route. Because even Dizzle has a identity crisis, I guess you could say. Because Dizzle is a black-owned business. The name itself, Dizzle, comes from Mike Dizzle, made Dizzle back in 2001. It's basically a mixed drink that ended up becoming bottled. So he made it back in 2001. They decided to name it Dizzle because Mike Dizzle made it. And so they just took Dizzle. And I don't know what other names they could have gave it that would have worked anyways. I really don't. It's got a good story to it. Mike Dizzle made the drink. Dizzle. I do you Dizzle. That's the thing. So Dizzle is a, when people think of Dizzle, they think of Snoop Dogg. They think of Urban. They think of Hood, you know. They think of just black urban slang, I would say, you know, Dizzle, Shizzle, things of that nature. So Dizzle has to find a way to tap into other fan bases, other consumer bases, like white consumer base, Hispanic consumer base. That's why we got the Dizzle Loco and things of that nature. We got different recipes for different people, you know? And so, like, that's the thing. You got to find ways to tap into that other fan base. I get it. But, like, we want to reach this other crowd. But when you go into the process of trying to reach this other crowd, you can't alienate your other consumer base in the process of doing it. And that's what these companies are doing. You have to find ways of reaching this other crowd without alienating your consumer base. You know, for Dizzle, it could be something as, like, Dizzle has a lot of, we got a lot of rappers doing Dizzle commercials. You know, it could be something as having a, simple as a country singer or a rock band doing a Dizzle song. You know, it could be something that simple, which doesn't really alienate the urban consumer base. You know, it just taps into a whole nother market, a whole nother, I guess you could say, culture market. And because Dizzle's for anybody, it's not. Even though it's black owned and Dizzle is a black urban kind of slang, it's for everybody. It's for blacks, whites, Hispanics, Asians, Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Caucasians. I mean, whatever, anybody who likes tequila, anybody who likes cognac, try Dizzle. You know, and that's the thing. Like, these companies, Bud Light is like, all right, we want to tap into the fan base, but they alienated a whole consumer base while doing it. And if there was no way for you to tap into that fan base without alienating 25% of your consumer base, because I can guarantee that fan base they tried to tap into, it didn't work. They didn't start buying Bud Light. They didn't replace the consumers they lost whatsoever, because they tried to tap into a fan base that isn't even old enough to drink beer yet. They try to tap into a fan base who isn't old enough to drink beer yet for another 6 or 7 years. Like, Dylan Mulvaney fans are like 14 and 16 year olds, you know? So you were thinking too far ahead of the curve. You alienated a large portion of your consumer base just to try to tap into a base. And that's the thing, Dizzle, we got the same, like, we got to tap into other bases too. But we're not trying to alienate any of the consumers that we already have in the process. And the best way to do that is just stay away from political issues or social issues as a business. It's okay for us to have hip-hop artists, country artists, you know. As long as, you know, we probably have to stay away. We probably have to stay away from any artists that are involved in political issues too. That's the thing. We probably don't need to have artists that have political issues be tied to the brand as well, you know, because you probably don't need, you just don't need to bring politics into business. Like, that's the thing. If people are going to buy Dizzle, we need them to buy Dizzle because Dizzle is a high quality premium luxury liqueur, because it tastes good, because it's better than all this crap out here that they sell, because it's better. It's 10 times better than Bud Light, you know. But let's get back into this.
Your buddies are hanging, you know, with people that enjoy beer and y'all shoot the shit, and politics really shouldn't be in somebody's beer mug, you know?
They just don't get it. They think it has to be in everything. Everybody, because of social media, everybody feels like they're fighting some sort of social battle with everything they do. And, you know, and this is one, this is another one. It's like forced compliance. You have to, you're forced to comply with this. And, you know, it's fucking up women's sports in a huge way, in a huge way. And, you know, some organizations are pushing back against that, and some people are pushing back against the organizations that are pushing back against it, which to me is insane. Like, if you care at all about biological women, you should be against that.
Without it, I mean, what if, like, LeBron said he wanted to play?
Before he says that, I was just talking to somebody earlier today about this, and we were just talking about how, you know, we talk about the music industry and how, people in the music industry, they just conform. You know, we were talking about how Jadakiss prefers to sign with the major label because he don't want to risk his money, but Styles P from the Lox will he'll bet on himself, you know, because Jadakiss apparently, it seems like he just wants to conform to the label process of it, you know, and not have to take any risks of doing it himself and losing any money or anything and whatnot. But there's a lot of people trying to force people to conform, trying to shame people into conform. We were talking about it. People are conforming just to fit in, just to be cool, just to, just cause they don't want to hurt people's feelings, you know, just cause they want to appease people's feelings. But let's hear what he about to say about LeBron.
In the WNBA. Like, I'm retiring from the NBA because I'm 49 and I'm going to play in the WNBA.
Well, they wouldn't be able to stop it if he just decided to say publicly, I identify as a woman. What are they going to do? They can't do anything. And then that would be the end. That would be LeBron. Dave Chappelle is a bit about it.
Yeah. LeBron scores 100 again tonight.
Well, there was some fucking knucklehead that was getting an interview. They said, if Mike Tyson identified as a woman, should he be able to fight women? And they were like,
I got to stop. I'm glad Ice Cube did that. I'm glad Ice Cube said that. What if LeBron decided to go to the WNBA? And I'm glad he said it like that. LeBron scores another 100 again tonight. Because that's what LeBron would average in the WNBA. It's 100 points a game, man. He literally would. I mean, any of the top superstars would, I mean, Giannis would average 100 points a game in the WNBA. You know, probably Embiid, Jokic, Devin Booker, Kevin Durant, all these guys will probably average 100 points a night in the WNBA. If I want to be fair, it'd be like 75 points a night on the low end. On the low end, if we want to be fair, 75 points a night on the low end. But I'm with him, man. LeBron scores another 100 tonight. If he was in the WNBA, he decides to just identify as a woman. It's crazy. Come on, let's keep it moving. Come on, video play. What's going on here?
Well, the short answer is yes.
Lord.
It's so crazy.
Yeah.
It's okay. And there's also different specifications. It's like what you have to do and how long you have to take hormones before you can identify as a woman and compete as a woman. Like, just fucking stop.
I mean, who's going to check all that?
Yeah. There's a reason why there's women's sports. And yes, there's a reason why there's men's sports. And it's, you're not talking about who you are, what your truth is. Live your truth.
I mean, Title IX just got, you know, just turned, what, 30 or
yeah,
something like that, you know what I mean? So
protecting women's sports. Yeah.
Yeah, which is great because it forces schools and, you know, they make a lot of money, you know, teaching whatever they teach in them schools, and they should carve out some for women to be able to play for their school, you know.
Let me pause for a second. And Joe Rogan and say the real reason why there's women's sports. Because if they tried out for all the boys' teams and the men's teams, none of them would make it. I'm sorry. None of them would make it. And people were like, oh, Paul, you're being sexist. No, I'm being a realist. I'm being a realist. I'm not. It has nothing to do about being sexist. I'm being a realist. There is no woman on the planet that could make the NBA or the NFL or Olympic track or hockey. Racing, yeah. Even, you know, somebody tried to bring this up with talking about Serena Williams could beat, like, one of the top 20 guys. No, Serena Williams said it herself out of her own mouth, the horse's mouth, that she couldn't. Like, so let's pump the brakes on all this make-believe, imaginary, made-up horse shit.
Oh, that's great. And so I don't understand. You know, sometimes things don't make crazy man sense. And when they don't make crazy man sense, I just back out.
Hold on. Let's stop thinking about it.
Yeah,
let's stop real quick. I like that one. Think about that. No, that's a, this don't even make sense to crazy people. Like, this makes, I never heard that word. This don't make crazy man sense. Yeah, man, this doesn't make sense to crazy people. Lunatics are thinking like, yo, this shit is batshit crazy. And what I always say that this shit is batshit crazy, man. He hit it right on the nail, man. This shit is like, when it doesn't even make crazy man sense. And crazy people would say, yo, this shit's crazy. That's basically what he's saying. Crazy people saying that this shit is crazy.
A good move, because yeah, you're not going to solve it. No. I mean, if people are, I think ultimately it gets solved where people just don't accept it anymore. And then hopefully it'll go, I mean, maybe they could just develop a transgender league where trans people play against trans people.
That would be
great. Why not?
You can't pretend you're a biological female just because you wish you were. Yeah. Like, you can't pretend when it comes to women's sports. You can't pretend when it comes to women's rights issues. It's like, that's not.
Just give them a league.
You don't want men dominating that. Because that's what it is. It's men entering to women's spaces.
Yeah.
And whether they're
ultimately
they identify as a woman, that's great. But you physically, you're a biological male.
Yeah, yeah.
And you want to compete against them? You want to play rugby against women? Get the fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of here. That's crazy.
No, they want to dominate.
They want to dominate. The only time it respects people's opinions is when people.
All right, so, yeah. That was definitely an interesting convo. Ice Cube definitely seems like a person of reason, common sense, common knowledge. Even he, like, that's the thing. There's no way he could be voting liberal or Democrat. And I ain't saying he's got to vote Republican. But he's got to be saying to himself, like, this is batshit crazy. Like he just said himself, when it doesn't make crazy man sense, I'm out. I'm out on it. I'm not in, you know. So, yeah, this shit doesn't make crazy man sense, man. Like, this shit that's going on with a man can become a woman and a woman can become a man with a snap of a fucking fingers. Wave of a fairy godmother's magic wand, apparently. Once again, thank you for tuning in to Paul Pickett Podcast, and I'm out.